Morning. A very dramatic parable, and made even more dramatic by reinserting a few obscure details, and especially by looking at its placement in the gospel. Did you hear that last verse? When Jesus had finished all these words, then he went and, you know, that's Matthew's sign-off line. He uses it to end each of the five great sermons that are the structural elements of his whole gospel. So this is the end of a sermon, specifically the end of the fourth out of the five sermons, the end of the sermon on the church. Now the end is a real spot of emphasis. So we're being told here, this is an important characteristic of the church. Different, perhaps, from what you may have learned when you were children, where the duties of the layman in the church were to obey, pray, and pay. This is not about praying. It's not about paying. Certainly not about obeying. It's about forgiving. Our community, this congregation of disciples of Jesus, should be characterized by its ability and its willingness to forgive. We're not told, belong to the right organization, or believe the right doctrine, or follow the right rules. We're told, if you want to be a part of my church, my ecclesia, my assembly, forgive as your Father forgives. This whole thing ties back to the first sermon. They all do one way or another. And at the end of the first sermon, the first chapter, it says, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Base your life on imitating your Abba. Learn who your God is. Grow up to be like that. And your God is like the king in this story. So should you be like the servant in the story? It's also useful, I think, to retrieve some of the detail. It's been obscured because they thought it was just too outrageous. It says, who owed him a huge amount. Well, when you read the original, it gives it in gold. Talents, they were bought like gold bars. And when you figure it out at the contemporary price, this is about $1 trillion. $1 trillion. That's almost as much as the whole United States can lose in a year. And this one guy is in hock for $1 trillion. And he says, have patience with me and I'll pay you back in full. Yeah, right. Sure you will. It's just an unbelievably outrageous sum of money. And the king writes it off. He doesn't even have to start making payments on it. He doesn't convert it to an interest-only loan. He doesn't renegotiate. He just writes it off. And then he grabs the guy for a much smaller sum. You calculate that one out, it comes out to $2,000. You have just been forgiven $1 trillion, and you have somebody thrown into prison for $2,000. You missed the point. See what has been done for you, and do the same for each other. That's the answer Jesus gives to Peter, who in this whole section, of course, is the leader and representative of the community, and shows both how much and how little they understand. Peter is the one who says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the one who turns around and says, oh no, Lord, nothing like that would ever happen to you. Here Peter has figured out that it's about forgiveness. My brother or sister sins, must I forgive? How often must I forgive? I know I have to forgive, but where's the limit? Is it as many as 7 times? No, Peter. 77 times. Forgive as you have been forgiven. This is what should characterize you, characterize your church. The image, the first line of the first reading, puts into visual terms what we're talking about. wrath and anger are hateful things, but the sinner hugs them tight. What an image. Hugging tight, bear hug on wrath and anger. And isn't that accurate? Isn't that what we do? The way we sort of nurse grudges and fuel them. Let go of it. Forgive it. Put it aside. I'm not talking about the easy ones, you know, where you've had a fight with your spouse or your parents or your kids or a friend. And things have gotten a little out of hand and everybody said something they shouldn't have said. And you really know it's about 50-50. You think it's 60-40 on your side and the other one thinks it's 60-40 on theirs. But both of you know you're a major part of it too. You know? So you write it off. I'll forgive you if you'll forgive me. We put it aside and we move on. Well, we've all done that. And we know that it's often not easy. But it's a lot easier than what this is about. This is about forgiving when you have been plainly and simply wronged. It's not 50-50. It's not a mutual quarrel. It's you were stabbed in the back by somebody you loved. You were rolled over by somebody that you trusted. Somebody you hurt, that you love, was hurt by somebody you thought both of you could trust. And you're angry. And you're quite convinced that you have a right to be angry. And you're probably right. And you will be. And you need to be. You also need to let it cool, put it down, and walk away from it. But we don't. And in fact, we don't even always decide to. Frequently we're thinking about this. I know I need to forgive. And you work yourself up to the point where you've forgiven it. You're pretty well convinced that you've honestly forgiven it. And then something happens, something gets said, whatever, a month later, 6 months later, a year later, and it's right back. And you have to go through the whole process again and forgive it again. You can get to your 77 times over only a couple of incidents that just have to be forgiven again and again and again. But it's something we need to do. It's a process we need to go through if we are going to be the community that Jesus founded. What characterizes us as a church should be our ability and our willingness to forgive. Now, I said this yesterday, Mass in the afternoon and the evening, and somebody said to me after each one, Is this picked out special for 9/11, or does this have some connection with 9/11? Well, no, it's not picked out special for it. And there's no direct connection. This is the reading for the So Manyth Sunday in ordinary time. But I think it does have some connection, if you stop and think about it. This is the 10th anniversary. What is that going to be? It can easily be a stirring up of the old grudge. They got us, and we're going to get them for it. And we're going to go out there and keep getting them for it until every last one of them is gotten. And that's what Jesus is telling us we can't do. You have to forgive. You have to move on. You have to put it aside. And if you do that, then the anniversary can be something different. The anniversary can be about remembering the unfulfilled promise of the men, women, and children who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Of paying tribute again to the heroism of the firefighters who went into a building when everybody else was trying to get out. Or the courage of the passengers of a plane who took it over and dived it into the ground so that they would not be added to the sacrifice wiping out the Congress or the White House. Those are things worth remembering, things worth paying tribute to. But what we must not do is use it as an excuse to stir up old angers, to renew old grudges, to restore old hatreds. whether as a nation, or as a church, as a parish, or as individuals, all of us are called to forgive. Not 7 times, but 77 times. Forgive as you have been forgiven. If God has written off your $1 trillion debt, who are you to go to court over a couple of grand? Learn to grow up. We need to learn to be like the ever-merciful God that we call our mother and father. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.